those who are Zooming with me on Saturdays, we're having no Zoom, so that is, we're going to have a break because of Christmas Eve and the stuff that's coming up. Tina would like us to be reminded that they need some other nursery workers. The good thing about the nursery, if we have children in there, that we usually have two workers. So if you're thinking, I don't know if I want to do it alone by myself, you can go in there. So membership classes, if you've thought about being a member or would like to talk to Pastor Bob about membership, please see him and talk to him, because I think he's going to get one going pretty soon. And then for missions, the blessing bags. Beginning next week, they're going to be collecting items for the Philippians 2, and that's to give to the homeless people in the Columbus area. It's a great ministry. And so you can look and see. I know that they're looking for toiletries, I think socks, just things that I'm not sure what all, and I think there's going to be a list somewhere for people to know. But this coming Sunday is when you start collecting. So if you have any questions about what kinds of things you can bring to church for the homeless, I know Roxanne would love to help you with that. And then Everett is saying, please don't forget to pick up your Christmas cards that are out there. That's a really good ministry, too, for all of us who want to make sure that we can give out Christmas cards. We don't have to pay the postage. We can just get it here and deliver it. But look, because you probably have a pile out there. So make sure to pick up your Christmas cards this morning. And then also, we have Christmas Eve service next week. And we'll have the Christmas Eve service in the morning and then in the evening as well. So if you can plan that into your Christmas Eve and the evening service here at the church, it's always a good place to be on the night when we celebrate Jesus coming down into earth. I was reminded again, and I think I don't even know if Trish is here, but Trish reminded me in the Daily Bread that there is a time when we are just reminded to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. And it was about that little article, the written thing in the Daily Bread was about a missionary couple that had to leave. And in leaving to go to the country, they were leaving behind their father who had nobody else, and they felt really bad about leaving this dad on his own for Christmas. And they began really praying about it, saying, Father, what can we do? Because we have limited money. We can't send Dad here to join us for Christmas, and we can't fly home for Christmas. And the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit spoke to them and gave them this great idea of Zooming in or getting FaceTime. And so they made it have started this Christmas tradition, where when it's time for Christmas, they set their computer on the table and they Zoom in and let him be a part of it. What a sweet thing, but sweeter still to know that you may not have that problem, but you probably have other things that you need to hear from the Holy Spirit. And it takes time sometimes to wait, to be still, but to know that God is going to speak to you. And I like Romans 15:13. It's a good one this time of year. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in them, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need hope this year. And we know that there are people in our own church family, in our immediate family, that need just that light of the Holy Spirit and the Christmas spirit to be theirs today. So I pray that if you're feeling a little bit empty this Christmas season, that the Holy Spirit would just fill you up to overflowing.
Thank you. excuse me, this is the third Sunday in Advent, a time of preparation. During these days, we are getting our hearts ready for the coming of Christ, of the Christ child. On the first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. We wait with hope for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus. The second candle we lit was the candle of peace. When we look at the second candle, we remember that the angels told the shepherds about the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ.
Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of joy, which is the pink candle. Pink symbolizes a break in the darkness and a time of joy as Christ's birthday gets closer. We have joy as we remember God's gift of Jesus to the world. When we look at the third candle, we remember God's promise of joy. God promised to send a Savior to the people. In the Bible, we read of Mary's joy. From Luke 1, chapter 1, verses 46 and 47, Mary said, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, and how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary's words can guide us to look for the joy of God even when things may be uncertain for us. When Jesus was born, the angels comforted the shepherds with the joy of the good news. From Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, it says, "There were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.'"
During Advent, we rejoice. Let us pray. Lord, today we rejoice. We rejoice because our Lord and Savior, Jesus, was born. Fill our hearts and our days with joy. We rejoice that you are with us always. Help us live in such a way that our words and our actions help others know of the joy you give. Amen.
Amen and amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? We praise the Lord for Laura. She said, "Don't do that," but I am. I just appreciate it, her talent. We have a lot of talent in this church. We start counting it up for a little church. Let's stand, shall we? Joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. The first Noel the angel did say, "O'er shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields as they lay keeping their sheep on a cold wind. first night that was so deep. Nowhere, 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 nowhere. Born is the King of Israel. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. Joyful, joyful, we adore. Let's try that one more time, shall we? Everybody know that now you know the melody, right? It's from The Ode of Joy. But here you go. One more time. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, Lord of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of light. Angels lifting praise before you, sing throughout this holy night. In a manger lies a baby, child of Mary, Son of God. Joyces join in joyful chorus, praise you for your gift of love. All your work shout your glory, all creation joins to sing. Praise resounds as earth rejoices in the birth of Christ the King. Shepherds kneel before the infant, trumpets sound and anthems raise. As with joy our hearts are lifted, joined in wonder, love, and praise. Let's worship and adore him. Let's worship and adore him.
Let's worship
and adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For is worthy, Christ the Lord. Father, this morning you are the worthy one, the only one that's worthy, the only one that could do what you did on the cross. We thank you for coming all those years ago. We continue to praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Ooh, that's pretty loud. Turn me down, Dan. Is that better? Lower? talk this morning. We've changed the difference of the voice of the. It makes a difference in the microphone, so. Yeah, just push the mute button. Well, Caleb went through his surgery well, and he might be home today. They're trying to get him to get up, get out of bed, so you can imagine if he had back surgery where he had rods put in your back, that wouldn't be too easy to get up, and he's got to practice sitting down now and things, but it's going to straighten him up, because what was happening is his body was starting to do this. It was going to eventually, you know, not be good for breathing or anything else. So that was like, what, 6 hour surgery or more? About 6 hours, and so he's on recovery for that. So pray for him. Bob Harder's trying to get into a facility, so hopefully that'll happen this week. If you want to give him a call or anything. Russ is doing better. He's sent me an email saying he's doing a lot better. He appreciates all the prayers and all your concern, and he wants to get back as soon as he can. He's got doctors to see and, you know, things to take care of, so he can get back to where he was. I think he might still be on oxygen. I'm not sure, but his oxygen level was way low. His CO2 was way high, so they kind of got that turned around, and he had congestive heart failure and all kinds of different stuff that happened. Just kind of all came at the same time that he was in the hospital. So he's been out and hopefully getting that all fixed up. And hopefully he'll be back, I'm guessing, a week or two. I don't know. I haven't got the full details yet, but he's doing better than he was. So any prayer requests this morning? Kelly? You just did. fill that place. But you can still get on and say, you know, if Dad was here, he'd be doing this, and, you know, Mom used to say this to us, and, you know, those kind of things. I told you that story about my mom when she was in the hospital, and she was on drugs, so she was hallucinating, kept pulling her gown in place, and I said, stop doing that. Turned around, she went. Sister said, she knows she gave you the claw, and he turned her back, and I'm like, you know, so we crack up. I mean, we're sad she's gone, but we crack about those kind of stories that, you know, Mom did this and stuff, so, you know. Steve, you just stretch your legs, you have something to say? She's awake though.
Or breathing. So she responding better, breathing, and in that. But
be with these different requests, Lord. We know there's been loss. There's funerals coming up. There's people that are sick daily. There's those who have migraines, those who have surgeries, those who have financial and family troubles and spiritual issues, and those who are fighting battles of their own. And we just pray they would turn to you, Lord, turn to the church, their family, to ask for prayer and for support. Help us to pray for one another. Lord, we think of these who are still suffering the effects of COVID that they had, that are bothering them, those that are, like Bob Harder, trying to get into a place to get cared for. And for Linda Jennings this morning, who's been sick for 3 days, and just different ones. Lord, we know we live in imperfect bodies, and we're going to get sick and have coughs and colds, and we're going to pass away, but we know that our future's with you. That you're there to hold our hand to get us through. You're there to greet us when we go home. And we just pray for those, Lord, who are having those kind of feelings, those who have loss, especially this year, where Christmas will be different for them. But let them still experience the joy of family and friends and the joy of Christ coming. Be with our world, Lord, as we're in turmoil with all these different wars and rumors of wars and horrible things that are happening that people are doing. And just give us your strength, Lord, to be a witness and be a light in those dark times. And we pray for a joyful and blessed Christmas. We can celebrate the birth of Christ, that it's about you. That's why we're celebrating. In your name, amen. sitting around talking right at the meal, and they took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." Not only as a verbal thing, but as a visual thing, he actually broke it and showed them to get a visual image. He said, "Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." So they took the bread and they ate. They talk about the cup, as they're passing the cup around. It's going to be the blood of the new covenant. The blood was going to be shed for them. I don't know if they understood what he meant by that. I don't know if they looked at the cross and if they remembered that he said it. But he said, "Take and drink this. Remember me." So we drink the juice. Remembering his blood was shed for us, knowing that he was the perfect lamb, and that we can't save ourselves, but it takes him to save us, and it takes us to surrender. So we need to surrender to him in order to be saved. Father, we thank you for allowing us to have communion, where we commune with you. We think about what you did for us at this time. We take the bread and we partake of it, knowing that it was a symbol of your body being broken for us, as you were beaten and bruised, and you bled for us, and you carried your cross. We take the juice, remembering that your blood covered our sins, that you shed your blood for us, and that we needed a perfect human, a perfect God to be able to do that for us. And you came and willingly gave yourself up for us, that we could be set free from sin and death and have an eternity in heaven. And we give you the praise for that in your name. Amen.
Thank you. kids as our kids in there, had their own name on there. So one was Josiah and Isaac and Zachary and Faith, Caitlin, Sarah. So they all had names. Well, I trust you had a good week. Don't know about you, but it's good to get a laugh every once in a while, isn't it? Just laugh and kind of relax. So I have a couple slides here, some things I thought were funny. Sunday school teacher asked her class, what was Jesus' mother's name? One child said, Mary. Said, do you know the father's name? Kid said, it's Virg. She said, where'd you get that from? Well, you know, they always say, talk about Virgin Mary. Six-year-old Angie and her four-year-old brother, Joel, were sitting together in church. And Joel giggled and sang and talked out loud. And finally, his sister said, that's enough. You're not supposed to talk in church and be loud. He said, why? Who's going to stop me? She said, look in the back of the church. See those two guys by the door? They're the hushers. Mother prepared pancakes for her sons, Kevin and Ryan. The boys began to argue who would get the first pancake, and their mother saw an opportunity and said, if Jesus were here, he'd say, let your brother have the first pancake. I can wait. Kevin turned to his brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. Then we all have misunderstandings. There was a woman who was at home, and she texted her husband, window's frozen, won't open. You ever been in that situation? In your car sometimes, you know, you pour a little warm water on it. So he says, pour lukewarm water over it and gently tap the edges with a hammer. 5 minutes later, she said, the computer's really messed up now. So it's probably good to get a little more background before you give advice, right? Well, we're coming up to Christmas, just a little over a week. Way now we celebrate the birth of Christ, God in the flesh, the day that was foretold years before that it was going to happen in great detail. God even told us that a virgin would bear the Messiah. Then we find out that it's Mary. Can you imagine how she must have felt? And they said, you know, you're the one. She probably didn't remember the prophecy, but they knew it was going to be her. And Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. We'll call him Emmanuel. So Mary was chosen to bear the Son of God, and she accepted it. It'd be kind of hard to refuse, wouldn't it, if an angel said something to you? And you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. You're probably like, okay, I'll do whatever you say. But I wonder if she thought about the ramifications. She was going to be pregnant without a husband, basically, right? Because Joseph and her hadn't been married at that time yet, and God chose her. When somebody says, you know, who are you pregnant by? God. Yeah, right. I mean, she would have been pleased, probably delighted. But happiness is an outside circumstance. It's fleeting. It doesn't always last. You can be happy about something 1 minute, and the next minute you're not. You haven't found that out yet. Just drive around for a while. You're happy about things. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, yesterday this woman almost killed me. I was at my son's house, so I didn't tell you that. You'll find out now. I was turning right, and I had a green light, and these guys were on the other side, and they were coming through. So two of them came through, and I thought, oh, no problem. As I'm going through, this lady pulls right in front of me. Probably missed her by 2 feet as I blow my horn, and she just happily drove on as if nothing happened. I'm like, what is wrong with you? So if I had any happiness, it would have been gone in those few seconds. So it's fleeting, depending on circumstances. But think about Mary when she thought about the immensity of that task. I'm going to be her the Son of God. What if I don't teach him right? What if, you know, all these different questions she could have? What are people going to think? But I think she would have had joy, even though she would have been kind of scared about the prospect of carrying the Son of God. There's a difference between happiness and joy. You know, every time this year we talk about the difference. Happiness tends to be fleeting and depends upon temporal factors, circumstances, or the people. Happiness comes and goes depending on what's happening around us. So joy, on the other hand, is different. Joy comes from the Greek word charo, which means to be exceedingly glad. You ever been exceedingly glad just about things in general? Joy is a true contentment that comes from internal factors like our faith in the Lord. And true joy is everlasting and not dependent upon circumstances. So things can go good or bad in your day, and you still can be joyful. Doesn't mean you're happy and all over the place, but it means you have a joy that can't be taken away because it's not. not based on outside. It's based on your relationship with the Lord. The book of Philippians is a great study, difference between joy and happiness. Paul wrote this book while he was in prison in Rome. He uses the word joy or rejoice, joyful, 16 times, and teaches us to have contentment in Christ despite our circumstances. We're not told that very often, are we, to be content despite our circumstances. They always teach you to be content in your circumstances or because of. But we can't always control our circumstances. True joy is eternal because it's based on a relationship with Christ, who's an everlasting source of joy. He doesn't change. He has the same things. He wants the same things. He can give us that joy. Rick Warren says, I thought joy meant feeling good all the time. And he says, that's impossible. Even those who naturally are upbeat and optimistic don't feel good all the time. He said, I was wrong about joy because my definition of joy was wrong. But you have to start somewhere. You have to be realistic, somewhere closer to Scripture. So here's the definition that he has. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, the determined choice to praise God in every situation. There's a lot of stuff in that, isn't there? It's a settled assurance, which means you've decided that God's in control. No matter what happens, God's in control of this. And you have a confidence that it's going to be okay. And then you make a determined choice to praise God in the situation. That means you choose to do it. Even when you don't feel like it, you choose to do that. Nothing in the definition talks about happy feelings, because we know happiness is fleeting and temporary, but joy is not dependent on outside factors like happiness is. So Mary had every reason to have joy that she was going to conceive and bear the Son of God. She knew God was in control. If he wanted her to do this, then she knew she could do it. If God picks you for something and says, I want you to do this, you need to be confident and know, yeah, I can do it. If God thinks I can do it, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. He knows I can do it through him. He even took care of the details. He spoke to Joseph, telling him the whole story, so he didn't divorce her. Her cousin Elizabeth and Zechariah would experience joy as well and be part of the story. So Zechariah was in the temple fulfilling his duties. And Luke 1, starting 11, says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Well, wouldn't anybody? If an angel appeared in front of you, be startled and gripped with fear, like, who are you? What's going on? He was in the temple by himself, so nobody was supposed to be in there. In those days, I believe, was when they tied something to your ankle. In case you were killed, they could pull you out. So nobody had to go in. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John. And he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord's going to reconfirm his plan about Mary's birthing the Son of God through Elizabeth as well. So Elizabeth, when you think about this, she wasn't really young. She was in her 80s, probably her late 80s. Any ladies in their 80s having kids today? She wanted kids her whole life. God promised this is going to happen to you. So what if that was you and you're, let's just say you're in your 70s. And God says, you're going to have a child. And you're like, what? That's impossible. And all of a sudden, like, wow, yeah, I'm going to have a child. She'd been expecting it. She'd been kind of ostracized because she couldn't have a child, and now she was going to have a child. Says her unborn baby leaped for joy when they heard Mary's voice. So Mary may not have been feeling happy. I mean, I haven't been pregnant, but I see what happens as a result of it when people are walking around like this. You know, very slow steps. I'm like, can't bend over there. Could you tie my shoe for me? Those kind of things that happen. But she would have had joy knowing that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. Mary's response. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So she realized at this point, this is going to be incredible. Everybody's going to know she was the one who bore God's son, not because she picked it, but because he picked her in this case. I think she was joyful. She was looking forward to burying Jesus, to having him as her son. Probably wondering, how's this going to be? What's he going to act like? What's this, you know, those kind of things, I imagine. But it would be the greatest day of her life. And for us, it's one of the greatest days, apart from Easter, when Christ rose from the dead and broke the power of sin and death. And some people say today, happy holiday, right? We're going on holiday break now. When I was in school, it was always Christmas break, Christmas vacation. We did Christmas programs, Christmas pageants. We didn't do holiday events and holiday this and that. Because it's actually a holy day. They've forgotten that this is the day when the Lord came. We should have joy in the world because the Lord came. Without him, it's futile, right? We'd have nothing to look forward to. They've forgotten that Jesus, Son of God, came to earth to be born, to die, and to pay for forgiveness of our sins and offer us eternal life. But they're caught up in buying and getting gifts and all those things for the material part of it. I was telling a little story this morning about our family when I was watching some videos of how Christmas used to be from the 1950s. I wasn't there, just in case you want to know. 50 to 63, I was there at the end of it. But I saw my dad as a little kid, and he got older, and he always went to my grandma and grandpa's house. And when I was older, we did too as well, went in the basement. But the table's all drawn out. It was probably from here to probably that speaker or longer. And everybody was on each side, cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody was on there. And then we all had the meal, and they prayed. And when they did gifts, everybody sat around, and you went your turn. So you didn't go out there and get like, oh, here's your 7 gifts, and here's your 10 gifts. It was like, here's your 1 or 2 gifts. And they would hold it up. You know, I got a pair of slippers. And I got a shirt. It wasn't like, oh, stupid shirt, like it is today, right? What are you giving me a dumb shirt for? But then they appreciated all their stuff they got, and they were happy about it because it wasn't really about the gifts. It was about all the family being together. And the cousins used to, you know, play football and all kinds of stuff, and we were too little. We just get to watch them. And then we got old enough, and they couldn't play. So we didn't play. We just kind of did whatever, you know, talked and played other games. But it was about family, and it was about being with friends and celebrating that time together. It wasn't about what gift you got. It was just that you were all there together. And a lot of days now, you know, it's about everything you can get. What can I get? What can I get? Did I get this? Did I get the newest thing? Oh, I didn't get what I wanted. It was about the giving, not the gift, that made a difference. Well, I heard a story about a woman who was during her last minute Christmas shopping in a mall. Mall was crowded. She was tired of fighting the crowds and standing in lines and fighting her way down the aisles looking for a gift, only to find that it had already been sold out. Her arms were full of packages. She was open, the elevator door opened, it was full, and the occupants grudgingly let her in a little small space as she was trying to hold her load, and she blurted out to the group, "Who's ever responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." A few others nodded their heads, yeah. Somewhere in the back, somebody said, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." Pretty good response, wasn't it? They already crucified him. He's responsible for this Christmas thing. Knowing that they didn't know the real reason for Christmas. To them, it's just about gifts. But we need to remember this whole Christmas thing, that this is Advent. And as Christians, we need to have joy of the Lord in our lives. Even if we don't feel happy, we can be joyful. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Go and enjoy choice food, sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared." That's a good Christmas theme right there, isn't it? Enjoy your food and your drinks and give some to those who have nothing prepared. Christmas is a good time for us to give to others, too. If we have plenty, make a plate up for your neighbor, right? Here you go, have some food or whatever it is it may be. Our neighbors usually give us a little basket of dog biscuits and a ball to play with. That's because they want to keep us busy during Christmas Day. No, it's for... They have dogs, so they always give us a dog gift every Christmas. And then he goes on and says, "This is a holy day. This is holy to our Lord." According to McLaren, there's some background here. There had come a time in Nehemiah's enterprise when the law was forgotten and broken by the captives, and now was to be established again as the rule of the newly founded Commonwealth. Naturally enough, came a time of remembering the many sins of their past and a time of regret. You ever have that? Remember your sins of the past and your regret? But you need to remember that God's forgiven those things. When we confess them, they're gone. But the enemy likes to try to bring them up again and again and again. Remember when you did that? Remember when you're like that? How could you do this when you did that? When God says, you're clean. I've washed you. I've forgotten that. But he wanted to have a divine worship and a divine law in the midst. So Nehemiah knows that if the people waver again, they won't be able to face or conquer the difficulties of their position. So he says, this is the day holy unto the Lord. This feast that we are keeping is a day of devout worship. Therefore, don't mourn or weep, but go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared. Don't wallow in your sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So here's what he's saying. Don't keep mulling over and over again and regret your shortcomings. We could do that all day long. Well, I don't do this very well. I'm not very good at that. You won't have the power to obey. You won't be fit for your work if you fall into despair. Be thankful and glad. Remember, the purest worship is the worship of a joy fixed on God and in God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And that is as now true in the Old Testament as it is today. But joy is a natural result of faith. If you have faith in God, believe in him, and trust in him, you can have faith and you can have joy that the world's not going to understand how you can have joy in that situation when it doesn't seem like you should have any. But unfortunately, many people leave Christ out of Christmas. They leave out joy as well. They look everywhere else to try to find joy. The next gift, the next present, the next show, the next movie, whatever it's going to be, is going to bring them joy. But the problem is that joy doesn't last. When you leave the movie or turn the thing off or whatever it is, or the toy breaks, your joy is gone. But every Christmas we sing Joy to the World, written by Isaac Watts. Anybody know what year? I didn't either until I looked it up. 1719, it was based on Psalm 98. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. If you notice the lyrics of Joy to the World doesn't say anything about shepherds or a manger or wise men or angels or any other characters. Because he didn't write Joy to the World to be a Christmas song. But the original theme of the song was the second coming of the Lord, when we rejoice when he comes and takes us home. When Christ comes back, which we look forward to during Advent. That's not the end of the story, because if you look at 100 years later, in 1893, Lowell Mason adapted and arranged the song into the melody many believe to have been written by Handel. And you can see the message in the song can be applied to the appearance of the babe in Bethlehem, or it can be applied to the second coming. The question we ask is, do we have room in our hearts for him today to have joyous feelings, joyous expression, to be joyful around those that are here, to experience real joy? As we hear the carols, we can say, yeah, joy to the world, he's coming. I can have joy because I know he's coming back. I know he's been here, I know he's coming back for me. That the whole earth is going to celebrate his appearing. And I've been told, I didn't look this up, if you want to look this up over this next week, you can let me know if it's real. The words joy and rejoice appear over 300 times in the Bible. So who volunteers to look that up? Cindy? Oh, thanks. Okay, Cindy can look it up. Cindy will let us know next week if it's true. No pressure, though. You don't have to. Just kidding. So again, the definition that Rick Warren used, the settled assurance that God's in control of all the details of your life, quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. So we can say, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth and let us receive her King, because you know he's coming again. So do you have joy? You can, if you trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that we can have joy because of you. And the world can have joy because of you if they'll just turn to you. Whatever circumstance or condition that we're in or facing, we can have joy because of our faith and trust that you're faithful, that you're going to bring us through. And we know what's going to happen in the end. It will be with you forever and see those who have gone on. So we give you the praise, and may this Christmas season that we're facing be one of the best we've ever had in your name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Away in a manger. We don't get to sing this very often, so I thought today would be a good day. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Let's pray, shall we? Father, it's been good to be in your house today with your people. Lord, as we've already expressed, there's needs here today, and there's miracles in people's lives that are needed. Help us to understand the joy that only you can give. Lord, you're eternal. You were, you are, and you will be. That in itself, Lord, creates joy in our lives to know that you are who you are. We just thank you for what you've done in sending your Son. Help us to live in your joy this week, in Jesus' name.